Probably feels like about midnight to you, Susie. Thanks very much for being with us this morning. A 9 to noon special with Catherine Ryan and Susie Ferguson. And as we have reported just in these last few minutes, those waves are hitting, those first waves, tsunami effect waves, essentially on the east coast, particularly in Opotiki. We were hearing of surges from the district councillor there on the hill above the town, Louis Rapahana, describing wave effects that he said would be too strong for someone to stand in. So, goodness me, this evacuation utterly appropriate as things stand. So about 10:20, I think, those first waves began hitting there. We'll keep you posted as we learn more. Let's go now, though, to our reporter in Northland, Nita Blake-Pearson, who's out and about near Whangarei. In fact, she's in Onherahi near Whangarei Airport. Nita, good morning.
Kia ora, Catherine. I'm on the back of the runway and looking out to Whangarei Harbour right now.
What can you see from that distance? Is anyone reporting effects who has vision?
Looking out to the water now, there's nothing dramatic to be seen. There's a lot of people parked up on the road. We are above the sea level here, and a lot of people parked up with piers and the fire services directing traffic and things, because this is probably one of the best places in terms of seeing the sea, is, you know, making sure you're safe as well as being able to get a visual on what's happening. But none of that dramatic waves or anything else we seem to be hearing elsewhere from where I am.
We heard earlier in the morning, and this happened in a number of places, people heeded this call to evacuate. There was a lot of pressure on traffic for a time, but Whangarei fully evacuated, it seemed, pretty smoothly, Nita.
I was coming in from Whangarei Heads, where people were, there was definitely some nervousness out there, particularly in terms of getting kids to the right place and pets. As you drive in, there's a lot of areas that pass at sea level, right next to the sea. And I was coming in, you know, well after the alarms had been gone, just checking on communities. Schools have been evacuated, daycares, the sirens, you might be able to hear them, they've just been going throughout, you know, every little place you drive through, there's more sirens. So people certainly have been aware of this for some time. And a little while ago, there was still quite a bit of activity on the road. I was speaking to people who were really surprised that there was so much, but I think that was people who were probably quite nervous sorting pets or trying to find out where their children were. I spoke to one woman who had been very nervous about her young child in a daycare which sits right on some mangroves and things. I think most of that appears to have been sorted now, because the roads are quite empty, particularly around the sea, and now it's just watching and waiting.
Those sirens we can hear faintly in the background there, they're just going continuously, are they, Nita?
They turn on and off. Before they turned off, and I thought, what does that mean? What do we know? But they turn back on shortly afterwards. So I think that's just to keep reminding people that they should not be going anywhere near the sea.
Have you heard any reports about people in vulnerable situations or rest homes, these kinds of things? Or is it a case in Whangarei? I think we were discussing earlier where parts of the city and the area are obviously much more at risk than others that are safely back.
That's right. There are a lot of places which are high and easy to get to. I did pass a rest home on my way in and thought of them, but there was no sign of people there, so I'm hoping they managed to get out relatively early, safely, and without too much drama. I have been hearing from a lot of people. I haven't gone all the way into town, because I've been told there's been a lot of traffic and it's gridlock around there. Hopefully, again, that has eased a bit now that people have managed to do what they wanted or needed to do. But in terms of seeing the emergency services, the fire services where I am, and they're directing people, I've seen a few civil defence centres set up, because there's a lot of people now who can't go home. They've got their young kids, they've got pets, a lot of people who maybe have mobility issues and things like that. I saw one police car, but in terms of getting authorities helping to evacuate people, I think it's more community-led from what I've seen.
And things like food and water, it's secondary to being safe and well, of course, but has there been any signs of water being delivered to areas where people are? Or again, as is always the message with civil defence, you've got to look after yourself and those around you.
That civil defence centre that I've just been at in Onarahi, they had a welfare centre and they were helping people out. I've spoken to a lovely family who were up on a sports ground seeking higher ground, and they had a whole emergency kit ready throughout COVID, so they were pretty pleased with themselves. But otherwise, people have got deck chairs set up on the road next to their backyards and stuff. Everyone's chatting and helping out, and it seems in the last little while some of the anxiety and maybe that nervousness, which just as things were unfolding so quickly, has eased as we're waiting, but still on standby.
I was going to ask you about the mood of people, because people will be worried as we all wait to see what the extent of this impact might be. Not obviously life, human life is the main thing, but also on property. And how would you describe the mood throughout the morning?
I think a lot of people I've spoken to are kind of a bit shell-shocked. You know, they couldn't have the best sleep maybe because of that earthquake last night, and then there was the second one, and then the third one with the alert that came through, and it was quick, go, hurry. And that happened really quickly, and so you're going about your normal Friday morning routine, and it's a stunning day here, you drop the kids, it's work, it's school, you know, doing whatever you need to do. So it certainly turned things upside down for a lot of people, and they're just catching up maybe a little bit. There was, I'm nervous to use the word panic, but nervousness earlier this morning, which seems to have slightly subsided.
It is interesting that we're just hearing from Nima earlier, from Roger Ball, I think it was, who just pointed out, no one can recall anything on the scale, 3 earthquakes requiring some kind of alert to be issued in a row, and we'll wait to see how big this overall evacuation is, but it'll be one of the biggest we've had. We've had incidents before where there have been questions about the alert systems and questions about civil defence warnings and people not knowing what to do. By and large, what are people telling you about how it's worked?
Every group that I kind of go up and speak to, because there's just been so many alerts at this stage now, it will arrive on people's phones at different times. So depending, everyone kind of compares which provider they're with and what did that one say, oh, we'll be getting it soon, and, you brace yourself for that very jarring sound that comes through. So most people have been finding out through their phones, but those sirens have not really stopped. So obviously that's a pretty well-oiled machine here in terms of making sure people find out that way as well. On top of that, there's been a lot through social media, civil defence putting out alerts that way. I think anyone who's been confused that I've spoken to maybe has just come through from the fact that there were so many and it wasn't maybe entirely clear whether the alert, there was, then there wasn't, and then there definitely was. There has been no lack of information and warnings coming through.
Nita, thank you very much. Nita Blake-Pearson is RNZ's Northland reporter. She's at Onarahi near Whangarei Airport, where a large number of people are gathered. 18 and a half minutes to 11.
Now, the latest information coming in to us here at RNZ this morning, Refining New Zealand has said that the Marsden Point oil refinery site has been safely evacuated. Oil refining operations at the refinery were already shut down. That has just come in the last few minutes here at RNZ. We should update you on the very latest that we're hearing regarding the tsunami warning. It's for New Zealand coastal areas following that magnitude 8.1 earthquake near the Kermadec. There is coastal inundation, the flooding of land areas as a warning in the following areas. West coast of the North Island, up in Northland, Cape Reinga to Ahipara. East coast of the North Island, Cape Reinga, Whangarei, Matata, Tolaga Bay, also including Whakatane, Opotiki, also Great Barrier Island. Strong and unusual currents and unpredictable surges near the shore are expected also around basically everywhere else in New Zealand. We can go now, I think, to Great Barrier Island. RNZ's Country Life reporter Carol Stiles, I think, is there. Kia ora, Carol.
Hello, Susie.
Whereabouts are you? What can you see? What can you tell us?
I'm at Midlands Beach, which is on the eastern side of the island, and I'm well above sea level, so I've got quite a good view of the entire bay here. And I can't see anything unusual happening at the moment, but what I can see that's unusual is right across the bay, there are trucks and cars and vans all parked up high on the hill. And much earlier today, it's a very quiet island, there was a lot of activity on the road when that alert did come out, and so people were you know, buzzing off to higher ground. But I did see some people strolling, having a gentle stroll on the beach, and that word must have got to them because all of a sudden they turned and ran.
Now, people have moved to high ground. Have people also been heeding that sort of idea, that warning of trying to walk, trying to cycle, rather than taking, you know, motor cars, vehicles, that kind of thing?
I can't tell you that, because where I am, there's no real road access. So I haven't seen anyone around me moving to higher ground, apart from people in the distance. But I do know that on Midlands Beach itself, the road is actually higher than some of the properties. They seem to dip down. So I would imagine all those people would have been very quick to leave. And the other thing about Great Barrier Island is it's huge. You know, it is three times the size of Waiheke Island. And there are a lot of bays and a lot of inlets, and there are a lot of people living in very quiet spots. So we've had some emergency vehicles going up and down and up and down with the sirens blaring. And I guess they'll be having to go over quite rough roads, some of them, to get the message out to other people.
Now, as for out on the water, I don't know what you can see exactly from where you are now, but are you able to see what is going on out there? Are there any boats? Are there people that you can see out on them?
No, I can't see a boat. Not a boat to be seen.
So in that case, does that mean that everyone has come back on shore? It's not a situation where, you know, people are still out there, or have people left the area to seek deeper water?
I couldn't tell you that, Susie. Sorry, I didn't see a boat this morning before the alert came out, and you know, there's none since. So perhaps on the other side of the island, people are on boats, but this doesn't seem to be the sort of place that boats would come in and moor.
Mm. Okay, look, thank you very much. Carol Stiles there from RNZ's Country Life. I think she's actually on holiday on Great Barrier Island. So thank you very much for joining us on this RNZ special.